Joining us on the phone right now, she joins us every other week from London, Ontario, nutritional consultant, Pam Colleen. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
I am excellent. Later on, we'll talk about brain-boosting foods for kids. You were part of the Healthy Kids Revolution Summit.
That's right. It is a big online event. It's still going on right now, so people can still register for it and see my talk. But about 2.2 million people were invited to this online summit, and I was really fortunate to have been one of the participants.
Okay, so later on, after the break, we'll talk a little bit about brain-boosting foods. But now the link you sent me, because I'm not a member of Medscape, so I went to the link, and I was like, oh, I got to log in, and I got to create an account, and I'm like, oh, gosh, all right, hold on a second. Now, so rather than do that, which probably would have taken me all of a minute, tell us what the latest research is on saturated fat, because so many people are fat phobic. So many people are still scared. Yesterday, I go to the grocery store and my favorite flavor of yogurt is back in coconut. And I look at the side and I'm like, oh, good. 8.4% fat. Perfect. All right. That's the good stuff. And so much of the yogurt, low fat, no fat. I'm like, but it's all sugar. It's all, you're just getting sugar.
That's right. Yeah, which drives insulin and which drives fat, right? So it's the carbs we know that drive fat. It's never been the fat. And I want to point out this research that we're talking about here was just published. So there is cause for celebration out there, Tom. This is information that was published in the journal Advances in Nutrition. And it's a researcher by the name of Glenn Lawrence, and he's basically saying that saturated fat has had a bad rap, has been wrongly demonized essentially for decades now. And the research to demonize a saturated fat has been very, very weak. So we've been duped at many, many levels on our fear around eating animal fat, saturated fats in general. So go out and eat your butter, eat your meat, fatty meats, eat skin on your chicken. Make sure you're eating these fats, because even the scientific community is starting to turn around their voices. Keep in mind that a lot of the science that has been published over the last 50 or 60 years, which has been demonizing animal fat, has largely been because of a push from the edible oil industry, which is in direct competition to fats like butter, lard, and tallow. So they've done a very, very clever campaign to reduce our consumption of saturated fat in our diet. But of course, as we've been reducing our consumption of saturated fat in our diet, we're sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever before in the history of mankind.
When we look at fat, when we just have that word fat, if I go and look at what we look at carbohydrates, it's essentially all the same thing. It's all the same molecule. It's just a matter of how many times it's linked together. Is it 2? Is it 22? Is it 2002? But it's the same molecule, whether it's a sugar, starch, or it's all the same. Proteins, everything in protein, they're all different, all made up of different amino acids. But when we get into fat, are there differences because we have saturated, unsaturated, monounsaturated, polyunsaturated, that people just think fat is fat is fat?
I remember those days. I remember thinking that I clustered them all together.
Okay.
So when I was told to eat low fat, and I was very obedient in that regard, of course, I would eliminate things like even avocado from my diet because it is fatty, right? Now, in terms of superiority and quality of fat, I now know, of course, butter would have been a more optimal choice over avocados. But still, like you and many others, we cluster fat together. And in order to save face, what Health Canada and what the food industry is actually doing right now, Tom, is clustering fat together again and saying these trans fats are bad. They finally are admitting that they made a mistake by allowing all these trans fats on the marketplace. But they cluster these horrible trans fats in the same category as saturated fats. So you'll see this even in labeling, not just in terms of what they may be saying in the media, but if you look on the label, you'll see how they cluster them together. And animal fat, saturated fat, has not ever joined the dark side. They are not the bad fat. They're not the evildoers. It is this trans fats. It's these synthetic fats that have been created by industry that have been the culprits this whole time. So it's a very clever campaign, but you see what's happening with the food industry is that now that they've been caught red-handed putting something very toxic in our food supply, making these foods very shelf-stable, Tom, and very profitable on top of that, they will disguise these trans fats in food. Sometimes they even tell us there are no trans fats in the food, when indeed there are trans fats in the food. And this is all allowed. So it's a very treacherous trickery, if you will, that some people are buying these foods thinking that they're not getting trans fats, when indeed they are. And we know that trans fats are associated with all sorts of health problems.
Okay, so trans fats have never come back to the good side. That's what we don't want, right? Trans fats.
Right. They're the ones that are made by industry, not naturally, not the ones that are naturally occurring in foods like butter or meat, because they do have naturally occurring trans fats. The trans fats I'm talking about are the ones that have been made by a machine.
Now, and then to confuse it is, okay, so what about polyunsaturated fats or monounsaturated fats? And then, because that's the that's different than a saturated fat. So we'll come back and tell me the difference and what I should be looking for. So we've gotten rid of trans fats, but that was the right thing to do. But saturated fats are now coming back from the dark side, not nearly as harmful as we ever made them out to be. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, joining us on the program. This is 610 CKTB.
After 11 o'clock, I opened up a can of big fat worms when I asked Pam Colleen about fat, because now I'm thinking, oh, Pam, because we lump Pam, we lump fat together. All fat's the same, but now we're like, no. There's saturated fat and unsaturated fat. And on the unsaturated side, there's monounsaturated, polyunsaturated fat. And on the, well, saturated fat, we'll leave for a second. But okay, so on the unsaturated side, trans fat, we don't want.
Right.
Polyunsaturated fat, okay, not okay?
Yeah, no, we do want them. But
okay.
Here's the trick, Tom.
Okay.
This is what makes it very complicated to understand fats, is that they are labeled and almost individualized, but in nature, they are together in the food. They're not separate. They never have been in the history of mankind. So when you talk about the separate fats, whether it's the polyunsaturated fat, the monounsaturated fat, the saturated fat, right, they're typically together in the food. And so if you're talking about something like butter, for example, butter has all of these fats in them. It's just predominantly saturated fat. So you're going to get polyunsaturated fat in butter. You're going to get monounsaturated fat in butter. But because the predominant fat in butter is saturated fat, people just cluster it as being a saturated fat and only think of it as a saturated fat, when indeed you're getting the other beautiful fats in there, along with some dietary cholesterol, along with minerals, along with the very, very important fat-soluble vitamins, and so on. And the same thing would go for, even if we're talking about like flaxseed oil, right? Flaxseed oil is going to have different fats in it, but it is predominantly an omega-3 fat, which is a polyunsaturated fat. So it becomes very, very complicated, but I want people to remember one very important point, is that fats have never been separated. They've always been naturally occurring in food. So when you start separating fats, you're risking throwing off the balance of fats in your body. And this is why I see a problem with taking too much fish oil, for example, in a supplement program. Because if you're taking too much fish oil, you could overdo it and take too much omega-3 fat in your diet, when our ancestors would have gotten the omega-3 fat right from their food. And so with omega-3s, for example, omega-3 fats, these are your EPA, DHA that are in the fish oils, you know, they actually work better in your body when they're naturally occurring with things like saturated fat. So if you're eating fish or if you're eating grass-fed meat, the omega-3s are going to be in there, but they're in there in unison with saturated fats, which will make the omega-3s work better in your body.
Now, when I am consuming fats, and you have, and there's a lot of people who are like, and you're not the only one, but it's growing back to, we can't go down to zero fat in our diet. That is just the road to bad health. That approximately, you know, you've advocated up to 80%, and others I've seen, you know, you got to get 30, 40% of your calories from fat. Is there a fat I should focus on? Or is it just, you know, when you focus on, for instance, as you say, your red meat, your butter, your whole milk, that will provide the proper balance of the fats your body needs?
That will do it. Our ancestors knew it through wisdom. you know, they knew to sit, you know, to wake up in the morning and sit down and have a full breakfast, and the breakfast would have contained a lot of animal fat in it. Same thing with lunch, same thing with dinner. Our ancestors didn't have to think about what they were eating. They never put thought to it, Tom, right? They knew through wisdom what to eat. And I see the paralysis of analysis with regards to diet today. I think people are thinking too hard about it. And I think if we just go back and use our very distant ancestors as role models, I think we have a better chance at health. I mean, I get questions all the time. I got one this morning, you know, how much dairy am I allowed to eat? You see, this kind of questioning is coming from this complex, you know, almost elitist type of thinking that goes along with diet today, and thinking that it has to be complicated when really healthy eating is not complicated. What makes it complicated is a lot of the dietary misinformation that's out there. So just think about what we would have done in the 1800s or early 1900s, is sit down and have a bacon and egg style breakfast, a meat and potato style lunch and dinner. And we were actually pretty healthy when we ate that way. It's just that today, because bacon, eggs, meat has been so heavily demonized, we're scratching our heads and we're so confused. And I'm trying to eliminate that confusion because it paralyzes people.
And one thing that you've always pointed out as well, that we can't just think of our what our weight is and our body composition in terms of our shape, and I'll get to this next point. It's because the most important organ that we have to feed is our brain. And this is that so often, while we starve our bodies, we're starving our brain as well from not energy, but the critical components like proteins, but especially fats provide for our nervous system, but also our neural system in our brain.
Right. And it's no surprise that we see so much mental instability in society today, because we have strayed away from the foods that keep us not just physically stable, but mentally stable as well. And Tom, I'm very excited. I have another study I want to send you. It's a meta-analysis from a researcher who has studied the research on, you know, the body mass index, weight, and so on. And he confirmed research that was done in Canada as well that shows that if you have a BMI, body mass index, of 25 to 30, that you're going to live longer and be healthier than people who have a lower BMI. So all these people out there going to the gym trying to obtain the skinny or thin look, unfortunately, they're not going to be as healthy as people who have a little bit of weight on them. And I'm not justifying obesity. That's not what I'm saying here. But if you're a little bit overweight, that's perfectly fine. And so I'm happy that this research has just come out as well, because part of what I try to do, especially where women are concerned, is do exactly what you're saying, Tom, is please don't sacrifice your brain over your body.
Now, let's not give it short shrift, but you are part of the Healthy Kids Revolution. The website is The Healthy Kids Revolution. You are talking about, in this teleseminar, brain-boosting foods for your children. Can you give us a brief synopsis?
Sure. Well, what I talk about in this presentation is the importance of making sure your children are getting enough animal fat in the diet, because animal fat is a source of not just healthy dietary cholesterol and these fats that you and I have just been discussing, but also of things like the fat-soluble vitamins A and D, which are crucial for growth and development in children. And so when we're not getting enough of these fat-soluble vitamins, of course, children grow or develop properly, not just in terms of their physical development, but their mental development as well, because these fat-soluble vitamins are crucial for the nervous system. And so when we see these particular vitamins in things like butter, meat, eggs, you know, dairy products, especially the high-fat dairy products. And that's what we should be focusing our energies on in terms of feeding our children. When I see a lot of these healthy school initiatives, Tom, my heart just breaks, because a lot of these healthy school initiatives are really not very healthy. The kids are still getting skim milk, low-fat milk. They're getting, you know, chocolate beverage, you know, which our government says is a nutrient-dense food. So please disregard that claim. It's not a nutrient-dense food. It is low with sugar. We want to go back to the foods that our ancestors would recognize. And that's not what the kids are getting in the schools today. These defatted, low-fat dairy products, they're getting canola oil or soybean oil rather than butter or lard. They're not getting enough meat or fatty meat for that matter. So there's just so much misinformation around what healthy eating is. Whenever I talk to people who say to me that they're eating healthy, I take a step back and I just give my head a shake inside of my head, because I'm like, I know that they think it's healthy, but it's really not healthy. And where our children are concerned, I don't think it's fair to compromise fats.
Pam, always a pleasure. For more information, Pam Killeen, PamKilleen.com. You have so much great information on your website, so I'll direct people there. PamKilleen.com. Have yourself a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Tom.
29 minutes after 11 o'clock. Next.